back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Dave Benton. Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Dave, you've got highlights of the British Open on, and we're seeing that all day. I guess they started coverage of round three. Is that what we have now? Or
no, there's golfers on the course. I think they're just showing highlights, all the wind and everything yesterday. Yeah. I don't know if they start coverage until 9, I think, is when they start the coverage.
Okay.
A lot of the big-time golfers don't even tee off until after 10 o'clock, so...
I have not made the pilgrimage to the British Isles to play over there. Andrea was just there. She was just in Scotland.
I know she was
there. But I have played Pebble Beach. There are a lot of golfers from this area who have played a lot of these courses. Chris Holman has, Alan Baird has, Steve Ruthenberg was on the other day, he has, Bruce and Mary Fossum were on yesterday, they have. And our next guest has, and I don't know anyone who has had a better score and Dr. Tom Jamieson when he played at St. Andrews a couple of years ago. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. How are you this morning?
Just fine. As you watch British Open highlights and you see the wind blowing Tiger Woods' hat off and flag sticks swaying in half, does it look familiar or was that not what you saw?
That looks familiar. That's what we saw. I played there four times and I think we saw it every time we did play there. That was the same thing. And we had the similar situations with sunny weather, windy weather, rainy weather, and all conditions happened on each round.
Do you think the wind delay yesterday, do you think that was called for, or do you think they should have just let the players play in those elements?
Well, I was surprised they called it. They probably did right. We played in wind. It seemed like it was that windy, and I played in a World Pro-Am Golf Championship where I'm inside out and ripping apart, and they didn't stop us from playing. In their situation, it was probably best to stop.
We're having a little trouble with the phone connection here. Scott, give Tom a call back here and see if we can get that hooked up because it's just fading in and out. And Dave, would you like to play? I know that golf isn't your number one sport, but would you like to make that trip and see the history of the game?
I'm a big guy of going to stadiums that I haven't been to and things like that, and going to those golf courses would be cool. I don't know how much I would enjoy playing on a course like that, to be honest, with the long grass and everything. I can see myself, although the way it almost seems like you can putt from 90 yards away would kind of make me feel better. So I don't know. Maybe those courses are more right up my alley. I was really shocked that they did the wind delay yesterday. I don't know how you felt about it.
I'd never seen it before.
Neither have I. But I will say that it did seem like an unfair advantage for players who had teed off in the morning for two straight days. The players that teed off in the morning did way better than the players that teed off in the afternoon. So I don't know how you feel about that, but it just seems... This tournament, more than most British Opens, to me, just seems like a tournament where players are benefiting from teeing off early in the morning.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of luck involved in that, and it could turn around. You could have rotten mornings and favorable afternoons, too. I think we have Tom back with us. Tom, you were talking about the conditions when you played?
Yes, we were talking about whether they should have canceled yesterday, and I was surprised they did it, but I guess it was probably okay. And we have played, both casual rounds of golf and a tournament that I played at St. Andrews in conditions similar to that. And the weather changes throughout the round. You can see this morning. This morning they started the telecast at 7 o'clock this morning, so I was up and watching it. And they've had rain this morning and, of course, wind most of the morning. And so the conditions are neat. They changed. We teed off 2 years ago, and it was sunny and beautiful on hole number one. And, within four or five holes, it got cloudy, and then it started raining, and then the sun came out again. And so conditions change throughout your round there.
More than any of the other majors, I think, Tom, you find that maybe experience counts. And you had Greg Norman a couple years ago in this thing. Last year, Tom Watson could have won it. And now you've got 50-year-old Mark Calcavecchia in second place, and he shoots 5-under yesterday.
Yep, and you're right. These experienced players do have some advantage there. I think that that's why some of the younger players fall off later on in some of the rounds, but experience is tremendous, especially on that kind of golf course.
Yesterday, I thought, considering the conditions, I thought Tiger Woods looked really, really good. Probably of the windier conditions when the players were playing, I thought he looked the best of anybody. What kind of adjustments did you see that he was making that other players were not making?
Well, again, I think it's the experience aspect of it, and he was able to contend with the wind, and he's got so many different shots that can keep it down and low, and both in chipping and both off the tee, and he's got a strong mind, and I think that worked for him yesterday well.
Yeah, I think the mental part of it, as you say, he's just so determined. He was going to find a way to make a par, and the putter switch that they've talked so much about. He had that Scotty Cameron that he won all the majors with, and now he goes to a Nike putter, and he said the ball comes off the club face a little bit faster, but he doesn't look as comfortable as he has, Tom, standing over these 8 to 10 footers.
Yeah, I'm sure he's still getting used to that putter, although he putted great the first day, and I think he putted fine yesterday too, and that is amazing to be able to change putters. But he can do that. Good golfers can change like that. And I think with the slower greens and texture of the greens, that putter must be rolling better for him.
A guy like Rory McIlroy, a guy who had such a great first day, record-setting first day, and then it just kind of fell apart for him yesterday, had some putts roll back on him and things like that. When you're having a round like that, to go back the next day and play at St. Andrews, what kind of mindset do you have to say, okay, even though I was this terrible, I still have a shot to win this tournament?
Well, I think his mind is young enough that he can do anything to change things around, and he's good enough. He's got great talent at a 21-year-old, and so he did it a day and a half before, and he can do it again. He just needs to, and the conditions are, I think, what hurt him the second day. I don't think he would have shot 80 with similar conditions as he had the first day. He probably would have come back, not probably as good as 63, but he would have kept it in the 60s. I think his worst round there has been in maybe 69. He's for him to shoot 80 is pretty amazing. But once you get it going bad and the wind contributes to that, then it's hard to get it back, and he didn't have time to get it back. He'll get it back today, I'm sure, and probably shoot maybe par or better.
We're talking with Dr. Tom Jamieson, and not only is he one of the top all-round athletes in the history of mid-Michigan, a great golfer and tennis player, and he is probably has the record, Dave, for the most physicals given to athletes over the years. All the work he's done with high schools for more than four decades, and also the physician of the stars. I like to say when you go to his office, it's like visiting a museum.
Just with all the pictures and everything?
The pictures. I mean, I could sit there, between appointments and just look at all the things he has up on the wall. But, Tom, when you think about playing a course like this under these conditions, what can the average player back here in sunny mid-Michigan learn by watching this tournament this weekend?
Well, I think, you walk out, our closest thing to something like that is Eagle Eye. I mean, that's a Lynx-type style golf course.
Right.
We played one last weekend called the Gales up in the Alpena area, okay. Tawas area, and that's similar. It's hard to picture what this really is if you haven't walked it and been on it. Same way with Augusta.
Right.
National, you can't picture, in that particular case at Augusta, how the terrain is and how much the hills influence the golf playing. At St. Andrews, it's just amazing. I mean, we of course, had to have caddies to tell us where to hit the ball and where the bunkers were, and you'd hit a tee shot that was perfect and get out there and be in one of these pot bunkers and not knowing where they were, you would be in trouble. And so it is actually the television picturing is a lot easier to see at St. Andrews than it is at Augusta because it's not as rounded, not as hilly. But they televise this terrific, and it's a great place to play.
As somebody who's golfed there, is it harder to hit out of a bunker, or is it harder to hit out of some of these really long grass areas where you almost can't even see the ball?
Whoa, man, I think, these guys are strong enough, it's easier for them to hit out of the grass areas, and they can at least move it forward. The pot bunkers, depending on where you're in them, you're going to have to hit it sideways or backwards, or else you don't advance it at all, or if you may stay in there for two or three shots, which has happened this week already. But I think they can hit it out of the grass tall areas, as I found myself. We can at least advance it forward out of there.
You know, Tom, I think that's one of the differences in this kind of terrain, because you talk to pros, tour pros, and they don't mind being in the bunker. They would rather be in the bunker than in the tall grass. But here, as you say, sometimes you've got to knock it backwards before you can even get the ball out.
That's correct. Most of the bunkers we play around here, you do. There's times when I'm playing where I've got a shot that, you know, not sure if I can knock it on the green or I could be short. I aim at the bunker, knock it in the bunker and get it up and out of the bunker and say par or whatever. And that's what they do. They can aim at bunkers and they're good out at bunkers. But these are different. These are a lot different. Some of the greenside bunkers are flat, but most of them are deep bunkers in the fairways, and then some of them around the greens at bunker, by 18 and 17, and all of those are tough to get out of, even if they're close to the greens.
Tom, I was going to ask you about your favorite round of golf, and I know that you've played so many different places and with different partners, and maybe your favorite round is probably one you played with your guys, your kids, but tell us a little bit about when you played with Sam Snead.
I played with Sam Snead at the Lansing Country Club several years ago, and it was a terrific opportunity for me to play with him and to meet him, and he was wonderful. He's kind of has a reputation of not being friendly and
right,
having a different type of attitude, but I think if you get close to him and you're a part of him to play with him, he was terrific, and that was a very, very memorable round and a memorable day. I mean, I spent the whole day with him and was able to have lunch with him and dinner with him, and he was terrific.
You know, he is a really good athlete. I have heard stories about him winning a lot of bets, and one thing he would do, even into his 50s, was jump up and touch his foot on a 7-foot door frame. I don't know what he could have high jumped, but he could.
Yeah.
He was flexible enough to jump in the air and kick his leg up and touch the door frame, and he would walk away.
How did he land?
Hundreds of dollars on his feet.
That's impressive.
He even showed us that. I mean,
did he really?
Yes, he did. He showed us. He didn't do a door frame, but just his ability to kick his leg up in the air and kick it above what his height was. That was
should have been a dancer.
Oh man, he was, and that's his athleticism carried into his late years too. I mean, he was terrific at that.
I mentioned that people have no idea because Tom Jamieson looks so young that he has played and won in seniors tournaments for more than a decade. And the other day, I guess recently, when you played, Tom, they said that you could move to some advanced tees, right? They were talking about the opportunity, or they weren't sure if you could have moved to some advanced tees because they didn't know how old you were.
Well, yeah, the starter at the Michigan Senior Open wondered why I was going to be teeing off where I was teeing off. He said, you have to be a certain age, and he said, you aren't that age, are you? And I said, yeah, and I said, I haven't been carded for a long time, but I will show you my driver's license if you'd like to see it, But that was fun, and we teased about it. But getting older, that's one of the only advantages. You might get to tee off a little shorter golf course. But
Tom, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, and good to talk to both of you, Jack and Dave. See you soon.
All right.
Tom?
We will be right back with more, and we're going to talk with Mark Snyder coming up of the Detroit Free Press. We'll be right back. Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.